Hey, this is Chris Bleck. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Welcome to The Baseball Show, Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on the Cubs, the White Sox, and Major League Baseball. On radio, on app, on podcast. Listen to the show your way on ESPN 1000 or the new ESPN Chicago app. The Baseball Show, presented by Goose Island Beer Company on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to the Baseball Show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah. Here we go, Abdallah, for the Chicago White Sox tonight. They take on the Minnesota Twins, and this is why it's a big deal to this point in the season. The Sox now sitting in the standings in the AL Central, 21-13 at the top, the very top of the AL Central. Tied with the Cleveland Indians, they have a game and a half up on the Twins. This is why it's a big deal. To start the season, they lost 2 of 3 to the Twins. They also then went to Cleveland, went 2 of 3 where they lost to the Indians. Now we need to see the White Sox against good competition play good baseball, because we've seen them beat up on other teams. We've seen them beat up on the Royals, on the Tigers. We've seen them beat up on the Royals and the Pirates. Those teams, the Cubs, we've seen them beat up on those teams to this point in the season. Now, at the top of the division, the teams you have to compete for, that division title, now you got to make a move. And that's where we start here on the Baseball Show tonight. We have the MLB trade deadline to get to, but tonight, a big series starts for the Chicago White Sox against the Twins.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned it last week when we were previewing. You know, we were like, hey, you know, like, don't overlook the Royals or anything, but, you know, Monday is when it starts. Monday is what they call them golf moving day, where, yeah, you're in first place now, but time to put some separation between you. If you've been this team that, you know, has won a ton of games in a row or a ton of games out of their last 13 games, and you want to prove that you're not that team that started and lost 2 out of the first 3 to the Twins, you want to be a real World Series contending team, you've got your ace on the mound in Lucas Giolito, who pitched the no-hitter the last time out. The time before that, he had 13 strikeouts and was great then, too. You want to capitalize on that momentum. Kimu, you know, you're facing Rich Hill. He's only pitched 12 2/3 innings so far in this shortened season. So you've got a chance. The Twins haven't been playing well as of late, to really put some distance in this series between you and the Minnesota Twins. And then, you know, you've got the Royals again, and then the Pirates, and then the Tigers again. So, like, you've got, this is the series. This is the time where it's like, okay, you didn't do anything at the deadline, so you think you're good. You've got your pitching is set up. Everybody knows you can hit. So now it's time to prove that against the only two teams that you're going to face this year that are, you know, going to be good in the division, in the Twins and the Indians, it's time to prove that you're worthy.
Now, I get it. At this point, I think some Sox fans may look at this season and say, I'll just take whatever I get, because this is supposed to be the building season. Next year, we should be competing if you're a White Sox fan. To me, I kind of don't even look at it under that mindset. I look at it as, you've gotten to this point. Your pitching is fantastic. Your bullpen's really good. And of course, we knew that the Sox were going to hit this year. So why not take advantage of the position that you're in? 60-game schedule. You know that anyone could really do anything with this season. There's all kinds of potential there. And where you've gotten to this point to get to this spot where now you face off against the Twins, listen, they're a game and a half back. You do some damage in these next 3 games. You have 4 more against the Twins, I believe it's September, like 14th, 15th, and 16th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see them again. But you could put some distance here. You can start to do something here in the AL Central. And I don't think I'm overselling how big of a series this is, because it's a young team. And that's what young teams need. They need moments where you can see and check reality. Because if they can go off and win 2 of 3, if they could sweep the Twins, I don't think it's cocky or arrogant to suggest this team is faster along than we thought they would be. Now, if they lose two of three, they're not ready. And sure, they can maybe figure something out with this season, but really what they are is a nice team that beats up on bad competition, but when they're faced with the better teams in the AL, they're just not as good. And that's why I feel like this week is a good benchmark spot for the Chicago White Sox, and that's really where we start tonight's information here on the Baseball Show.
The first pitch.
Play ball.
Throwing out the first pitch, and I have to say, this was rather impressive.
On the Baseball Show.
Right. There's your first pitch, and then some.
On ESPN 1000.
We have a lot more to get to with just the White Sox and the Twins tonight at 7:10. Lucas Giolito on the mound tonight, 3-2 with a 3.09 ERA, taking on the left-hander Rich Hill, who's 1-1 with a 3.55 ERA at Target Field, the 7:10 start. Sox and Twins, the only game in town tonight for our two teams, the Cubs and the White Sox. The Cubs are off today, Abdallah, but the trade deadline took place at 3 o'clock, and the Chicago Cubs made some moves. They made a few moves, smaller moves, adding to the bullpen, adding to outfield depth, but really not doing anything that's earth-shattering, and I don't think there's really anything here that the Cubs did that really changes the outcome of what you're expecting them to do in this season.
Yeah, are they a better team? Probably. Are they a team that's now a World Series contender because of the moves that they made? No. So, I mean, yeah, these were moves that needed to be made. Like, you needed lefty bullpen help. You needed something in the lineup to fix the DH spot. Albert Almora needed to be, you know, sent down to the alternate site. And I think that you added a good defensive replacement utility player. I think you added a decent DH. But ultimately, this is bargain hunting. This isn't, you're not sending out any of your prospects. You're not trading Bryant. You're not trading Baez. You're not trading Contreras. You're not doing any of that stuff. So this is what you got for what you have in your system that was available. You got a couple guys for cash considerations, for players to be named later and whatnot, and for, you know, no-name prospects. So you've got, you added, and you added what you could add because you're not ready to sell off Chris Bryant. You're not selling off Javi Baez yet. That would come in the offseason. That's not going to come in the middle of the season when Chris Bryant's on the injured list, when Javi's batting 100, you know? Yeah. Like, that's not what's going to happen. So their moves that they needed to make, does it make them a contender? No, they're still what they are. The Cubs are what they are. They're a team with a shaky offense, an extremely shaky bullpen, and three very decent starting pitchers. One excellent starting pitcher. Two guys you can rely on but have had their ups and downs this season. And then who knows what you're going to get. Jose Quintana looks like he's ready to come back and be a starter. He had a decent outing his last time out. So I think that, you know, they're still who we thought they were. Like, the, you know, to use the quote, the Cubs are still who we thought they were. They're still this team that will make the postseason, but after that, I don't think they're getting that far in the postseason just based off the moves that they made.
Yeah, Jose Martinez, the outfielder slash first baseman that the Cubs pick up, he used to be really good when he played for the Cardinals. This year with the Rays, two home runs, batting average of .239, on base of .329, slugging of .388. His weighted runs created plus is at 98. So he's below average replacement player in Major League Baseball for the Rays. So obviously they give up on him. I know a lot of people will point to the splits. When you look at Martinez, Martinez's average against lefties, .229, against righties, .250. So he has a home run hitting off of each this season. But really, he's a player that used to be a lot better than he is right now. And the Cubs are getting someone that they hope can just add to what they have on that bench. And you see Almora now going to South Bend, being demoted down, and really the Chicago Cubs are just looking for some consistency in the lineup. Something that we've questioned the last couple of seasons, talking Chicago Cubs baseball. They have a lot of marquee names. They have the marquee network. They do not have the marquee production. Well, it's serious. They've got it, right? They've got the branding right there. They've got marquee names mm-hmm. to showcase on their marquee network. Mm-hmm. Yet, for some reason, each and every year, these same names that Cub fans love do not produce like they should. Or maybe it was just the outlier was 2016. Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the harsh reality that Cub fans need to come to grips with, is that they all overperformed in 2016, and that's not really the team that they have.
I have a feeling that it's more and more likely, and this is something you and I have been asking baseball people for the last year, that was 2016 the anomaly? And every time we've asked it, this, you know, I remember I asked Jeff Passan this last season, you know, and he said that he's not ready to make that yet.
No one's ever ready because the names. People exactly. See the names, because, and they think that the names are just automatically going to produce.
And I will also say that, look, if Chris Bryant was 100% healthy and playing well, if Javi could, you know, see a baseball ever that he could catch up to, this is a completely different lineup when those two guys are producing. Completely different. You know, Ian Happ's great at the leadoff spot. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow when Chris Bryant comes off the IL. Is he going to be inserted back into that leadoff spot, or is he going to be dropped down to second in that lineup, and then you just kind of shuffle everybody down? Is it time to move Javi Baez down in the lineup? So I think that, you know, when those two guys are performing, that's the heart of that lineup. That's where you put those names on the marquee. When Javi's hitting well, when Bryant's hitting well, when they're not, it just feels like a bunch of guys that are struggling right now to score runs, which is exactly what they're doing. Now, we're seeing almost a replica of what we've seen the last year and a half this week, you know, this week, where you score no runs, you score a few runs, and then you score 12 runs. You know, like every dude in the outfield has two home runs. It's feast or famine with these guys. Either everybody's hot or nobody's hot.
Rinse and repeat. It's the same story we've seen for the last couple of years. So at the trade deadline, the Chicago White Sox do nothing. I'm fine with it. I think it's okay. It's A-okay that the Sox have their goals set for this year, and they're not going to disrupt the long-term plan because they're tied for first in this weird 60-game season. Mm-hmm. The Cubs, they add Jose Martinez, Cameron Maben, Josh Osich, and Andrew Chafin, both left-handed pitchers for the bullpen, Osich and Chafin. So that's what the Cubs have. Let's take a temperature of the room. Can we do that? 312-332-3776. If you're a Cubs fan, if you're a White Sox fan, how do you feel about your team right now? And why? I'm a White Sox fan looking forward to the opportunity this week, three games against the Twins, to make a statement. I think the opportunity is there for the Sox to actually do some damage this year. And I get it that they only have a couple of really good starting pitchers. And once you get into a playoff series, that's going to be a question mark. I totally understand that. I think the lineup's ready, though. For the Cubs, this is, like you said, Abdallah, the same old song and dance that we've seen for the last couple of seasons. Some days the bats are hot. Other days they can't scratch together any runs. Then you have Yu Darvish pitching well, but now Kyle Hendricks is starting to slump. John Lester, what do you get from him? There's a whole bunch of different, and then also Tyler Chatwood, injured, right? There's a whole bunch of different question marks. Mm-hmm. Craig Kimbrell, I mean, why is he left out there over the weekend?
Well, it's his, like, because...
Oh, but I remember the manager, David Ross, he fixed everything, right? Maybe he's a little too close to the scene there. He is the one that went and scouted Kimbrell. Maybe he's giving him too much rope there out on the mound to try and close games. I'm just saying, there's a lot to discuss here. What's the temperature of the room? If you're a Cubs fan, if you're a White Sox fan, how do you feel about your team and why? We'll take your calls at 312-332-3776.
The Baseball Show.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We're taking the temperature of the room. Cub fans, White Sox fans, how do you feel about your team and why? Let's go to Michael in Streamwood. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What do you think of your team?
So I'm a huge Cubs fan. I've been one all my life, born and raised. I love the Cubs, love what they did in 2016, and I like that they're keeping the core of the team together. But just like you guys are saying, I watch the Cubs on Marquee every day, and I got Hulu just specifically so I could watch him on Marquee with all the contract stuff. But every time I see Baez hitting, for some reason, it's just he wants to swing at every slider outside and low and in the dirt. And then with Kimbrell, who's probably one of our biggest signings, I think it was. Every time I've watched him pitch, there's always he always just blows the saves, blows the game somehow, whether it's a wild pitch or just walking someone with the bases loaded, whatever it takes to lose a game. It seems like with Kimbrel up there. But, man, I like you guys say, I wish those two guys could get their head on straight and hopefully win some more games here and win another pennant, another World Series. I'd love to see the Cubs-Sox World Series. That would be awesome.
Yeah, well, thank you for the call, Michael. He brings up Javi Baez, Abdallah. We had this conversation about a week ago, right? And I think it was like the 23rd. We had this conversation about Javi Baez and his struggles this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 24th, he came out and he gave us two home runs against Detroit. And it was like, oh, Javi's back.
Javi's back.
Here he comes. Javi's back.
And then
since then, he's had two hits.
Yeah.
That's, let's see, five games. He's had two hits, no home runs. Not great for Javi Baez. On the season, his average is .202 on base, .246 slugging, .371. His weighted runs created plus from Fangraphs is a 61. 100 is average around baseball. He's a 61 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
What do you mean, my thoughts?
You're a Baez stand.
Stand?
Yeah, stand.
Stand.
You're a Baez stan.
Yeah, he can't hit right now. What do you want me to say?
All right, let's go with Thomas in...
I mean, you read the stats. You need me to say anything? Like, I don't even need to watch him hit.
Support your man. Give him support.
Support what? He can't hit for crap right now. Stand by my what?
I just gave you the floor.
Stand by my what?
If you don't want to, you don't have to.
No, what is there to defend? He's playing like crap right now. You know he is.
All right, let's go to Thomas.
No, don't set up that BS. Whoa, look at Avi's stats. support your man. Oh, then look at me. I'm going to go to a phone call. Here's me hitting a phone button. Listen, I know your games. I know your games.
There was no one there.
I know your games. Thomas and Garfield Ridge, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, Thomas, first-time caller. Thank you guys for taking my call.
No problem, man.
Sox fan, Southside, born and raised. I feel great that the White Sox made no moves at the trade deadline. I was a little bit worried to see if Kopech would go, given his situation on and off the field. And I was a little scared after Dunning's performance that he might have said too well to get himself traded. But honestly, we've been, you know, doing this process since 2012. I would hate to see us settle for one championship when we can probably chase a couple.
Yeah, I'm with you, Thomas. I appreciate the phone call. Also, what do you think Abdallah should say about Javi Baez? Your thoughts?
I think Tim Anderson is the best shortstop in Chicago for sure. But obviously, Javi, you know, he's chasing pitches and, you know, he hasn't had the best bat this season, clearly.
Thank you for the call, Thomas. We appreciate it.
I agree.
Let's go to Will in Virginia, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so when it comes to the Cubs, I mean, it is what it is for the last 3 years. It's, you know, maybe they're finally going to break out. Maybe this is the team that's finally going to get on that consistent streak. So at this point, going into September, it's like, all right, they made their deadline moves. I really feel like the best acquisition that this team will have, potentially, will be Bryant or Contreras or Baez, just hitting consistently. If those guys can come back into the lineup, who knows when the playoffs happen. I mean, I assume they'll be there because the rest of the division is not great. So they pretty much should be there by default anyways. But I'm just hoping, I think that they're just kind of hoping that the main guys, the horses, like Baez, like you guys were just talking about, would just suddenly hit again. And that maybe will, you know, take them to where they need to go. But we'll see.
Will, should Abdallah support Baez a little bit more?
Absolutely. It's the swag Baez. He'll be fine. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him, but he's going to turn it on at some point before the season ends. Baez will get back on track.
Thank you for the call, Will. I appreciate it. I see in the Twitch chat, Abdallah, the Twitchers are talking. They want to know what Tim Anderson's numbers are.
They also want to know why you got a bunch of Cubs pick on your Instagram if you're a Sox fan and why you only recently announced that you're a Sox fan.
No, that's not true.
Your dad's defending you, though. Don't worry. Don't worry. Your dad's fighting your battles in the chat.
That's fine. if you really want to get into that, Abdallah, Mr. Grown Up as a White Sox fan, when did you become a Cubs fan?
Became a Cubs 15, fan.
16. Right, yeah. The 15 was a fun season.
Because you and I were in college together at Columbia celebrating the 05 White Sox.
Ooh. Yeah.
Just that like was a you, great night.
Just like you and me were on the... Well, I wasn't. I was in Cleveland. But you were on the north side celebrating a White Sox World Series. I've always been a supporter
of Chicago teams.
Oh, yeah.
I have no problem with that.
No problem at all. You know my theory
on the rivalry between the two teams.
Oh, it's the dumbest thing in the world.
I'm just interested in this blossoming Cub fan next to me. Since,
I mean, you know, living on the north side, become a Cubs fan. It just happens.
It's just osmosis once
Listen, when you're around that beautiful ballpark all the time with all the great stuff around it, all the great bars, not just, you know, sprawling parking lots and highway, you know, you become accustomed to a certain lifestyle.
Also, I like the you have Cubs photos. I don't have Cubs photos. I have one Cubs shirt that I wear.
It's just like funny that people are on your Instagram. Like,
no, like but going, it's true.
Going through
but
photos.
But it's a shirt. Like, you know, there's a guy who's driving around just holding the steering wheel so tight because he's like, how could he wear a Cubs shirt?
Oh, they do. Every time you wear that quarter zip, people get so mad at you. Yeah, yeah.
It's cold out. I wear it because it's a long sleeve gray shirt.
I had to move a bunch of stuff into a storage unit. After my mom moved, because I had all my stuff in her basement from when I was a kid, when I was younger, I've got like if I could resell all that old White Sox 05 stuff, like all those shirts and everything, just bins of it, bins of it.
Why don't you break it out?
I could.
It could be handy this fall.
I was bigger then, so I was wearing those. I don't know if those fit anymore. That's when Abdallah was in college and put on like the freshman 50.
The photos of us from our senior year of college. Jeez, we looked like it was the Thanksgiving Day parade. Like we were gonna roll down the street.
I know.
The balloon.
I got the White Sox hat on, cigarette sticking out of it for when I go outside in the bar.
I do think this is a interesting stretch for both teams because, like we said at the start of the show, for the Chicago White Sox, you can make some noise. Now, for the Cubs, this is also one of those spots where on the show last week, we documented their recent record. The week before, they were 2-4 in the last 7 days. Now, over the course of the weekend, they played much better against the Reds this last weekend. Now, heading into this week, things can start to turn around for the Cubs. And because we asked the question last week, is this the team that got off to that 13-3 start? Or are they the team that struggled and played sub-500 baseball for the better part of 2 to 3 weeks? And I think that's where you look at the Cubs and what they did against Cincinnati. Yeah, they split it, right? Mm-hmm. They won two, they lost two, but the two games they won were pretty impressive. Not only with the bats, but also the pitching was really good, especially from Yu Darvish, who is definitely looking like he is going to fight for the National League Cy Young this season. You have the Pirates here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then over the weekend, you get the Cardinals. But you get a lot of Cardinals because Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you get the Cardinals. You got a doubleheader in there and you wrap around to the Monday. So this is a big stretch for the Cubs because Cardinals, Reds, Brewers, Indians, Twins. Those are tough matchups. And if the Cubs are the second best team in the National League, they will play above 500 baseball here against these teams. And they will stay where they're at. And the additions that they made today at the trade deadline will assist them, and they will continue to make progress towards the playoffs.
Well, look, they're 3.5 games up right now. You know, if they were in a few other divisions, they wouldn't be 3.5 games up. They might not even be in the playoffs in some of these other divisions. But you're right.
They would be leading the East. They have a better record than the Braves and the Marlins and Phillies. You know, I mean, like that's the thing. That's the thing about the National League, though. The Dodgers are really good.
Yeah.
The Cubs have a good record. The Braves have a good record. Feel really good about the Padres. What else do you have?
Hey. Got a whole lot of...
500 Cardinals, 500 Marlins, a team in the Phillies that should be better.
You got a whole lot of meh.
The Rockies, 500.
A whole lot of meh.
The Giants were putting on, you know, they had a nice stretch. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They won 8 in a row at one point in the last week or so. But they started off in horrible fashion, so they're not a real team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're like the National League is like the Dodgers, and whoever can figure it out is right behind them.
Well, look, you start tomorrow with two games in Pittsburgh, and then you've got three games, but you've got Lester and Hendricks. It's time for Hendricks to figure out what's going on, right? It's time for him to have a better start. Lester needs to give you a quality start as well, but I can count on those guys more often than not to give you a quality outing, right? And then you've got Darvish to start the series against the against St. Louis on Friday. So I feel like this sets up to where you can win two series here. You can take two out of three from the Pirates. You can win three out of five from the Cardinals over the weekend and into Monday. So you just need to build momentum, beat these teams. You're supposed to be the damn Cubs, like everybody is supposed to think you are, right? Like everybody, you're supposed to be good. Play well. It's time to, you know, you maybe turned a corner by splitting with the Reds, especially that 10-1 outing yesterday where they hit a ton of home runs. Maybe that's the turning point. But we said this a bunch last year and the year before. Is this finally the turning point? They had a 12-run output. They had an 8-run output. Is this finally where the Cubs put together a run? Is this finally? Because the last few seasons, and I know it's a shortened season, it's only 60 games, but still, in the past few seasons, the Cubs have put together stretches of games that are pretty impressive, where they win 10 out of 13, where they win, you know, 14 out of 16 or something like that. They've done that the past few seasons, or they've done that in the past when they've been successful in the postseason. You haven't seen that so far this year. I know it's a shortened season, but ultimately, you haven't seen, you saw it a little bit at the beginning of the season, but nothing that really wows you and says, this is going to be one of the hotter teams that goes into the playoffs, and I'm going to be scared of this team.
Anthony tweets the show, Chris, you have to remember that Adam always says the E in ESPN stands for entertainment.
It does, doesn't it not? What does that mean? What is that acronym?
We'll be back.
This is the Baseball Show.
This. Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Chris Black and Adam Abdallah with you every night at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. Also download the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app, The Baseball Show. Check it out. Let's go first to third.
First to third.
He is safe. Bryce Harper goes from first to third on a ground out.
Black and Abdallah
burning around second base.
Go first to third.
All the way from one corner to another.
Not stopping at second. He's going to try for third. And the throw is not in time. Able to go all the way from first to third on a wild pitch.
First to third on the Baseball Show on ESPN 1000.
As we go first to third tonight, Abdallah, Buster Olney on Baseball Tonight on ESPN talked about his biggest takeaway from the trade deadline, which was at 3 o'clock Central earlier today.
Really jumps out to me that you saw more deals among National League teams and American League teams led by the San Diego Padres, and that makes complete sense when you look at the polarized nature of the American League standings. As of today, 7 of the 8 teams, the top 7 teams in the American League, have at least a 94% chance to make the playoffs. In the AL, you know, the Yankees, we've talked about them struggling and they've got injuries. You know what? They're going to be in the postseason. So maybe there wasn't as much motivation. Even the 8th seed, the Blue Jays, as of now, they're around 78, 79%. It looks like we already know what the American League playoff field is going to be.
So that's Buster Olney on Baseball Tonight. He mentioned the Blue Jays. Did they trade for Ross Stripling from the Dodgers?
Looked like it, yeah.
I mean, that adds to what they're doing because the Blue Jays are not out of it. Right now, they're third in the American League East at 18-15. I believe that would get them into the playoffs at this moment.
I think that's why you saw the Padres do a flurry of moves. Like, in a normal year, they're 5 games out of first place. You know, this year, they're going to make the playoffs, and they're like, you know what? Screw it. Like, we're going to add right now, and if we eventually have to face the Dodgers, like, we might be able to outmash them.
First to third, going through some of the big stories in baseball today. Jeff Passan on Baseball Tonight. His takeaway from the trade deadline.
Going into this trade deadline, there were a lot of concerns that it's going to be boring. There's not going to be any big deals. I mean, there's so many teams that are contending, so many teams that are not selling. The previous 48 hours were kind of awesome. And that was in large part due to the San Diego Padres. But still, it felt like a real trade deadline. And even through this morning when Mike Clevinger was acquired. But since then, it's sort of been Starling Marte and a bunch of, not going to call them bit pieces, but supporting characters. And I'll be curious to see going forward just how much action there is if the playoffs do stay expanded and we're looking at 16 teams every year getting in.
You know, that's an interesting point from Jeff Passan. And also, like, yeah, you know, other trade deadlines for the other sports, the major sports, there's a lot of action that takes place. To Jeff Passan's point, there really wasn't anything huge, landmark deals that are really shifting the way the league is.
Pretty big.
He's pretty big, but we knew that the Indians were shopping players all along. I mean, heck, Jesse Rogers was on this station, what, back in early May, saying that when we get a season up and running, Cleveland's probably going to be selling off parts. Mm-hmm. And he also kind of predicted that even if the Indians are in the playoffs, because right now the Indians would be in the playoffs, they still would be selling off parts, which is crazy to me.
I wonder if Chris Bryant was healthy, what would have happened. Ooh, if the Cubs would have
been on the market?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Cubs were ready to trade any of the guys this year. I think that's more of an off-season type thing. But, you know, if Javi was performing and Chris Bryant was in the lineup and healthy and performing, you're obviously not going to trade these guys because if those guys were performing, you'd be more than 3.5 games up in the NL Central. So maybe you just ride these, you know, maybe you don't add anything and you just add a couple bullpen guys like they did. Maybe they would be in the exact same position they were today with the trade deadline.
We're going first to third here on the Baseball Show. Tim Kirchen was just talking about the Indians on SportsCenter.
They gave up a really good pitcher in Mike Clevinger, but I talked to a couple talent evaluators today who thought that the Indians did very well overall on the return. However, they didn't get what they really need, and that's immediate help in their outfield as a hitter. They are not a good offensive team. They need someone who can play every day for them in the outfield and add some production to that lineup because they can pitch with anyone, even without Mike Clevinger.
Kirchen went on to also talk about the winners of the trade deadline.
I'm in on the Rays, but let's not forget about the A's. The A's have had a pretty good last few days. Tommy Lestelikin, he's a good hitter, and he's a stronger, bigger guy than he's been. He can really add some punch to that lineup. They got Mike Minor today, and with that, the power that they have, the bullpen they have, the infield defense that they have, they're still as good as any team in the American League, and they got a little better during the trade deadline.
So that's Tim Kirchen on Baseball Tonight as we go first to third here on the Baseball Show.
I would say that I did see a tweet yesterday from someone that was talking about the Indians and Clevinger and how they wouldn't mind trading him to the White Sox because, yeah, they need that outfield help. And since both teams are going to be making the playoffs anyway, or there's more teams in the playoffs, it didn't really matter to them that as long as they got the prospects they wanted and the caliber of prospects they wanted or the immediate help that they wanted, they weren't focused on whether or not it was the White Sox.
As a competitor, that doesn't sit well with me.
Why? Because they don't think you're, what does that mean? Are you like offended because they don't think you're real?
If you and I are competing in the same division, I don't want you to succeed.
Yeah, of course.
So, like, I get that in this year it's going to be different. And we heard Jeff Passan mention, like, it'll be interesting after this year. Is it 16 teams getting to the playoffs always?
I think it's
going to be. Because if that's the case, then you're right and I'm wrong on this topic. Because in the NBA, when the Bulls and the Pistons make a deal or the Bulls and the Bucks make a deal, it doesn't matter. Why? Because divisions don't matter.
Because of
it,
yeah.
It's all about the conference,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So in baseball, if they're watering down the divisions, thus it's only about the conference and getting into the playoffs because there's eight teams on each side, like, okay, I guess if the long-term view is that the Indians don't care about trading with the White Sox anymore because really divisional play isn't that big of a deal, okay, but you're still going to have to face them on the
schedule.
They're
going to keep the extra playoff teams. They have to. You're not going to take away revenue, right? You're not going to take away money.
Well, you don't have the 162 regular season games. So,
okay,
like,
but next year
they're missing revenue.
But next year they're going to cry poor too because you're not going to have full stadiums yet next year.
No, I agree.
So you're not going to take away revenue. The owners make a majority of their money from the playoff from the TV money in the playoffs. They're not going to get rid of it. There's no way. You don't just say, yeah, money was cool. How about less? You're not going to do it. There's no way.
How about less? Let's go to our stat of the night.
Jombie's on base percentage was .476.
Stat of the night.
Damon's on base, .324. And Almeida's was .291.
On the Baseball Show.
Add that up and you get...
You want me to speak?
We're not pointing you yet.
.1092.
On ESPN 1000.
All right, tonight's stat is 2,000. That's the number. Because Miguel Cabrera yesterday hit his 2,000th hit as a Detroit Tiger in yesterday's contest, okay? So, Eric, Adam, everyone listening, I'm going to ask you this question. Right now, Miguel Cabrera is 50th all-time in career hits. Right now, in Major League Baseball, there are currently three players active in the top 100 of hits all-time. Miguel Cabrera is one. Who are the other two people? I'll tell you next.
The Baseball Show with Bleck and Abdallah.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's a Baseball Show. Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. The phone number is 312-332-3776. The stat of the night tonight is 2,000, as in Miguel Cabrera hit his 2,000th hit as a Detroit Tiger yesterday. He now is 50th all-time in Major League Baseball in hits, with 2,843 hits heading into tonight's action. He's played 18 years. He's 37. Miggy Cabrera, 50th all-time on the hit list in Major League Baseball. So I asked you guys this question before we went to the commercial break. All-time hit leaders in Major League Baseball, in the top 100, there are three active players. Miggy is one. Cabrera is one at 50th.
Mm-hmm.
There are two other players in the top 100 all-time hits.
Mm-hmm.
Who are those players? Eric's here. Adam's here. Can you guys figure out who those two players are?
Well, immediately I think old dudes or older dudes, I guess.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. That's how you rack up a lot of hits. Yes.
Yeah. So Pujols has got to be one, right?
Albert okay. Pujols? Right. Yes. Right.
So that
Pujols
one was the name easy. That I that's picked the, yes. right
yeah.
away.
Yes. That's the easy one. Pujols that's the one easy. That came to me right away.
Pujols is 15th all time. And I would guess, let's see, he'll get to probably... He'll probably get, he'll get, he might catch Willie Mays. Pujols is at 3,229. Willie Mays is at 3,283. He may catch him this year at 12th.
I looked up this guy's.
So that's Albert Pujols. He is 15th on the list. Yes.
I looked up this guy's number. I don't know if it's, if he's, I didn't look at the top 50 or top 100 or whatever, but Nelson Cruz has a lot of hits.
Nelson Cruz is not the answer. Nelson Cruz not the answer.
He has 1,759 hits.
He has a lot
hits.
Of hits. Yeah, that's a lot of hits, not in the top 100. Active players, there's one other active player in Major League Baseball who is on the list.
I have a couple names, but I'm not sure who's been around the most. I'm down between, I'll give you my few, Abdallah, and then I'm saying Robinson Cano, Joey Votto, or Nick Markakis.
Eric nailed it. It's Robinson Cano.
Damn.
Robinson Cano.
I would have never gotten that.
On the all-time hits list, he's 83. 2,601 hits. So he's right behind Tim Raines, ahead of Luis Gonzalez, ahead of Vladimir Guerrero. So Robinson Cano. Those are the three active players in Major League Baseball on the all-time hits list. If you want to go farther down the list, the next active player you guys will never get. And even if we open up the phone lines and said, who is the fourth leading hitter active players in Major League Baseball today?
Fernando Tatis Jr.
No. No one will ever get this. I swear.
What number is he?
What number is he?
No, like on the ranking.
133.
133?
So he did not cut the top 100. When I saw the name, I did a double take. I'm like, okay, he's played 15 years. He's 36. Does that narrow it down for anyone? He's played a long time for the Braves, played for the Orioles for
a long
time.
So I said Markakis. Is it Nick Markakis?
Nick Markakis.
Yeah, that was in my three that I was guessing.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
Rich and Rosemont, you're on ESPN with that. Way to go, Eric. That's great. I wasn't even listening.
In his Carlton Fisk jersey.
That's fantastic. I'm just going to keep heading this for Eric. That's outstanding. Rich, you're on ESPN 1000. Right. What's up, man?
Chris.
Yeah.
Your White Sox panties are showing.
My what?
Look at it. Your White Sox panties are showing.
Okay.
There is nothing wrong with cheering for the Sox in 05. I'm a big Cub fan. All right? And I cheered for them because they're a Chicago team. Why would you not want to support their success?
Who?
Now, to call 16 for the Cubs as an outlier, did you forget what they had done in 15? And then did you forget what they had done in 17? Sure, they did not win the World Series, but it doesn't mean they didn't have a good team. Do they have issues this year in the past couple of years? Yeah, they do. It all revolves around hitting. Sometimes it revolves around the pitching. But, and I'm excited for the Sox. I think they show a promising year this year, and I'm hoping they do well. The only time I cheer against the Sox is when they're playing the boys in blue. That's it. But it's like there's nothing wrong with Adam supporting the 05 Sox. But it's like
he was a White Sox fan. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't for in 05, but he found his allegiance with the Cubs. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, Rich, you are aware that the Cubs were an 84 win team last year and missed the playoffs, right?
Yes, I am very much aware of it.
Okay,
but to speak to the way you're bringing it up,
mm-hmm.
and so what have the White Sox done since 05?
They've done nothing.
So don't,
absolutely
the way
nothing.
You're bringing it up. The way you're bringing it up. So then 05 was an outlier for the Sox, White Sox, correct? Yeah,
absolutely, and the Sox need change. I'm glad that they finally started to go in the right direction.
And that's great. If you can admit that, that's fine. But the Cubs have been fairly successful. They only won one World Series. And I'm aware of what they did last year. They had issues in the pitching staff. To deny that, then I guess it's like I look at the game a little bit differently. But I always stand with the boys in blue. And I'm hoping the Sox do well. I think it'd be great if we have a crosstown World Series. But we'll see how it plays out. Yeah, I know I'm dreaming. I swear I'm not smoking anything. All right. So,
thank you for the call, Rich. We appreciate
legal
it.
Now, Rich, if you wanted to, you could just go to your local dispensary. You could.
No,
I'm just saying, it's out there.
Yeah, I know it is. I appreciate it, but I think you guys are doing a great job with your show.
Thank you, Rich. Right. Appreciate it. Have a great
Thank
night.
Thank you. A lot of them have online check-in, so you can just, you put your order in, and then you go pick it up. There's no waiting in line or anything
contactless
like that.
Delivery?
Contactless pickup, but yeah.
But, what about, contact high?
Well, that's different. That's
the ride home.
Yeah.
Sitting check-in.
And I don't think, I think in a pandemic, you shouldn't be close enough to me to get a contact high.
Well, I'm glad I don't live with you anymore, because those days, that was interesting. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
The Baseball Show with Black and Abdallah. Weeknights at 6 on Chicago's Home for Sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
My panties.